Well, friends, let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Our Fathers, we now come to hear thy word tonight. We pray. Be pleased to humble our hearts. Help us not to set ourselves up against thy word and thy will and the teaching of it. Help us to submit to these things, we pray, and to behold wonderful things, not only in the law, but also in the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Open our eyes, Lord, we pray. Open our hearts. We might receive these things, and we might receive Christ, and that we might be those who are rejoicing in him and his salvation by him tonight. So do be with us now, we pray, and do help us. We thank thee, Lord, for all thy help in times past, all the grace in times past, but we look to thee for fresh and for further grace and supplies of the Spirit of Jesus Christ tonight. And in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, dear friends, for our text tonight, we're turning together to Job chapter 38 and it's verse 22. Again, like this morning, it's not as though I'm going to be preaching just from this verse here, but this verse introduces to you the subject and the theme that I hope to preach on tonight, which is snow. We had a lot of snow recently, so I thought we ought to have a message or a sermon about the snow. I thought that perhaps many ministers this Lord's Day will be perhaps dusting off old sermons on the snow and bringing them out. Well, I've never preached on this before, so it's been very interesting just to go through the scriptures and see what they have to teach concerning this, what snow has to teach us in accordance with the Word of God. Well, it's mentioned here in Job chapter 38 and verse 22. We read some of the words of God to Job towards the end of this book, and he says to him, "Hast thou, Job, hast thou entered? Have you entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail?" Perhaps the Lord there was talking to Job about, you know, the great abundance of snow. Has he entered into treasures of the snow in that sense? But also, as we're going to see, that there are spiritual treasures to do with the snow. Snow can teach us many spiritual lessons, as I hope we'll see now this evening. Well, last Lord's Day evening, our Sunday night, it was our guest service. You and I looked together at Psalm 51 and verse 7, at least the latter part of it. "Wash me," David said in that part of his psalm, "and I shall be whiter than snow." And we looked at that verse, or that part of the verse, the latter part of that verse, by looking together at the wordless book. Remember the wordless book from last Sunday night? Little book. I haven't brought it with me tonight. But just a little book of a few differently coloured pages with no writing in it, no writing on the pages. But those different leaves and the different coloured pages help us to understand the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Remember, we looked first of all at the first page, which was a black page, which represents our sin, your and my sin, because we're all sinners in the sight of an angry God. We've all sinned against God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all broken his laws. We've all done things we shouldn't have done and not done things we should have done. And secondly, the second page in this little wordless book was coloured red, a red page representing the blood of the Son of God, the blood of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, which is efficacious enough, powerful enough to wash us and to cleanse us from all our sins. That was the price that had to be paid in order that our sins might be forgiven. It was even the life. It was by the death. It was by the shedding of the blood of the Son of God as a sacrifice for our sins, whereby if we believe in him, we believe what he's done, we can have our sins forgiven and we can receive the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sin requires death. If we're to be saved from our sin, forgiven of our sin, it required the death of the Saviour in order to make an atonement for our sin. So thirdly, then, that led on to a third page, the white page, representing the forgiveness of our sins and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you believe on the Lord, if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, God will give to you the righteousness of his Son that he worked out during the whole of his life, because he came into this world, he came under the law, he obeyed God's law, not because he needed to be made righteous, because as the Son of God he was righteous, but in order to provide a righteousness for us, so that when you believe, it is not as though you've never sinned, and as though you've perfectly kept God's law. Then fourthly, there was the blue page representing baptism, which the Baptists have put in, well, we're Baptists, to show that when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that we should then do, not because it saves us, but because we are saved, we should be baptized. We should be immersed in water as a sign and a seal of what God has done for our souls. Then there was, fifthly, the green page representing growth. If you become a Christian, you will spiritually grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The green page. Then sixthly and finally, there was the last page, which was the gold page, representing glory, representing heaven, which is where we're going to go. If we have believed in the Son of God, we've not believed in the Son of God, we're not going to go to the place represented by the gold page. We're not going to go to heaven. We're going to go. Well, the black page reminds us of sin. It may also remind us also of hell and of eternal death, the second death, which we shall suffer forever if we remain in an unbelieving state. You don't have to do anything to be consigned to a lost eternity. All you need to do is to stay as you are, as you were born. But if you want to be saved, you must turn and come to the Saviour and believe upon his name. So we concluded by asking a number, what I trust were relevant and pertinent questions in relation to these six pages of the wordless book and what they represent. So that's what we looked at last Lord's Day evening for our guest service, the wordless book. And looking at that kind of latter part of Psalm 51 and verse 7, where snow was mentioned. Well, because of all the snow that we've had over the past week and that we have today, and I'm told tonight we can have even more of it, what I thought we could do tonight was to look at Job chapter 38 and verse 22, by looking at some of the things, not all of the things. There are other things that you can draw, other lessons you can draw from the snow in the light of God's word. But look at some of the things that the snow teaches us about according to the Holy Scriptures. To enter into, if you like, the treasures, the spiritual truths, the spiritual lessons that you can draw from Scripture and from the snow that God gives to us. Well, what are they? Now, let me seek to dwell on three for tonight, for now. The first is this. Snow teaches us, according to God's word, first thing is about his holy, just, righteous judgment upon our sin, upon your sin and upon my sin. It reminds us, the snow reminds us that God is the judge and God is the one who is going to judge us one day upon his judgment throne, the great white throne. It reminds us of judgment. Secondly, snow in the scriptures also reminds us of the grace of God, of the love of God, the mercy of God toward us as sinners in his gospel. It reminds us of that as well, in his good news, the good news concerning Jesus Christ. And thirdly, it also reminds us what you and I ought to be if we've been spared the judgment, safe from the judgment, and if God has been gracious and loving and merciful toward us, then it also teaches and shows us the kind of people that we ought to be for him as his redeemed and as his saved people. So that's where we're going tonight. These are the three things that Scripture teaches us in the light of the snow tonight. And I trust that as we hear these things tonight, we might not only think carefully about them now, but as you go home tonight, And this week, as you look at the snow, may these things be ever more impressed deeply upon us, upon our minds, upon our thinking, upon our meditation, and upon our hearts and upon our souls. These things might not be forgotten. We might remember these things all this week as we see the snow right before our very eyes. We can learn, my dear friends, can we not? We can learn not only from the Word of God, we can learn from God's world. But in this, we can learn from both what the Word has to tell us about this aspect of his physical world. So let's see then that the snow teaches us, according to the scriptures, about the judgment which is to come. Well, you say, how does it do that? Well, it does that because the snow reminds us of his holy, just and righteous judgment upon a lady called Miriam. Remember Miriam in the Old Testament? God's judgment upon Miriam for her sin. You might wonder, well, you know, I don't normally come to church. I don't know who Miriam is or was. Well, Miriam was the eldest child of a couple called Amram and Jochebed. And they were known not only for having her as their eldest child, they were, of course, also known as being the parents, the father and mother of Aaron, the first high priest of Israel, and also the parents of the prophet Moses. Miriam was the eldest child of Amram and Jochebed, and therefore the older sister. She was older than both Aaron and Moses. What was her sin? Against God, and also against her brother Moses. She wasn't only in the transgression here, but she really was the ringleader. She was the leader in it. She kind of brought her brother Aaron into it, but she was the one that really started it all off. And what she did was, she spoke against Moses. She criticized Moses. She murmured against Moses, God's servant, because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. But it ran even deeper than that in Numbers chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Because really what she was seeking to do was undermine Moses as a prophet, as a servant of God, and to set herself up and Aaron up also as a prophet and as a prophetess. So she was speaking against Moses, and she was saying that the Lord had not only spoken by Moses, not only was Moses God's prophet, but also I am, she was saying, and Aaron is also my brother. And that was not true. And God noted it. And God punished her. God judged her. God disciplined her in this way. He miraculously and suddenly caused her to become leprous, as white as snow. Sometimes when a certain kind of leprosy, when somebody gets it, it turns the skin as white as snow. And this was God's judgment upon Miriam. Numbers chapter 12, verse 10. The cloud, in other words, the token, the sign of God's presence, the Shekinah glory, departed from off the tabernacle in the wilderness. And behold, Miriam was left there. She became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous, and because of that, she'd have had to be cast out of the camp, at least for a time, until God cleansed her, and the leprosy went, and then she could come back in once again. So God judged her for her sin in that way, leprous, as white as snow. But the snow not only reminds us of that judgment of God upon Miriam, it also reminds us of his righteous judgment upon a man called Gehazi for his sin. Do you remember Gehazi? Gehazi was the prophet Elisha's servant. And Gehazi's sin was covetousness. He coveted the wealth of this world. He coveted wealthy clothing. And he coveted silver, money. And also he lied to a man called Naaman. He was a Syrian. We read about these things in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verses 22 to 25. And also he lied to his master, the prophet Elisha. But Elisha was a prophet, and he, even though he wasn't with Gehazi when he did these things, he knew what he'd done. and he pronounces sentence upon him. Well, what was it? Well, it was this: because Gehazi sinned against God and against Naaman and against Elisha, by coveting, thou shalt not covet. Just as thou shalt not bear false witness. God showed his displeasure in this way. God immediately made this man a leper as white as snow. He brought this disease upon him. Naaman had come from Syria to be cleansed of his leprosy, and he went away a cleansed man. By obeying God, by dipping in the Jordan, I think it was 7 times. The judgment upon this man Gehazi was that the leprosy that had cleaved to Naaman was now his and his family after him. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 27. The leprosy, Elisha said to him, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee, Gehazi, and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from the presence of Elisha, a leper as white as snow. Then thirdly, you not only, this snow not only arose of God's judgment upon Miriam and Gehazi, but on the enemies of God's people for their sin, particularly in the days we read about these things in Psalm 68 and verse 14. God's judgment on the enemies of his people for their sin in the days of the Old Testament. Listen to this verse. To say in Psalm 68 and verse 14, when the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Salmon. He scattered, God sometimes scattered his people's enemies like snow, or their bones, having been defeated in warfare, were scattered upon the mountains like snow scattered upon the mount in Salmon, in that place in Salmon. So this is the first thing in Scripture I think snow really reminds us of. It reminds us of the judgment of God. And the application, therefore, of this to you and to me is this: that unless we repent of our sin, unless you repent, unless you turn from your sin and come to hate sin and love God with all your heart and believe his gospel and obey the gospel by repenting and believing in his Son, Jesus Christ, God will justly, there won't be anything cruel or unfair about it, God will be acting consistently with himself, with his own holy and just nature. He will judge you for your sin, the sin that you were born with, the sin that you inherited from your first parents, Adam and Eve, and the sin that you've actually done. You won't contract leprosy. But remember, the judgment was not only the disease of leprosy, but being cast out as a result. Sin causes us to be cast out from the presence of God. When Satan sinned against God, God cast him out of heaven, down to this earth, to go up and down and to and fro in it. When Adam and Eve sinned, God cast them out of the garden. When Cain sinned, God cast him even further away from his presence, and so on. That is what sin does. It casts us out of the presence of God. And if you don't turn from your sin and believe in the Son of God as your Savior, your personal Lord and Savior, God will cast you out in the day of judgment. And he'll cast you out into outer darkness, the darkness of hell, as black as coal, as black as pitch, where there shall be weeping, your weeping and gnashing of teeth, because there'll be no mercy, there'll be much torment, and there'll be no hope. They won't be hearing any more of the gospel. There won't be any opportunity, further opportunity to repent and to believe and be saved. It's got to be determined now in this life. Otherwise it'll be too late. There'll be no second chances in eternity. Job, in the book of his name, chapter 24, verse 19, said this: drought and heat consume the snow waters, so doth the grave those which have sinned. The heat takes away the snow waters, and the grave and the hell take away those who have sinned and those who don't repent of their sins and believe in God's salvation. Quote, There's a time coming when you and I are going to be judged for the deeds done in our bodies, whether they be good or bad. God's holy law declares that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20. Every sin must be atoned for either by the sinner being punished for the sin, you're being punished for your sin, or by a suitable substitute provided for him by God. That's the way you can be saved, by God's substitute for you, which is his Son, Jesus Christ. So bear that in mind tonight and this week. The snow in Scripture reminds us of the future judgment of God for our sin. Either we shall be judged for our sin, or Christ was punished in our place, that we might be saved, that we might be spared, that we might not go to hell, not know the wrath of God throughout all eternity, but the pleasures of God's right hand forever and forever. So secondly, it also reminds us in the Scriptures about the grace of God, God's unmerited, undeserved favour towards you and towards me, his love and his mercy, his pity to sinners and who are miserable in their sin, his mercy toward us in his gospel, in his good news. How is that? How does it teach us that? How is it shown in the Scriptures? Well, we've seen whom God judged. But also in Scripture we see that God showed grace, love and mercy towards many, didn't he? And snow is mentioned in their lives. What about God's grace, love and mercy towards King David? David, the king of Israel, one of the kings, the second king of Israel. Remember what he did? He broke God's law. He committed adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. He did. With a lady called Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, one of his mighty men, one of his soldiers, one of his main soldiers. And then he had Uriah put to death. He didn't do it himself, but he as good as did it. He was the one behind it. And he tried to cover all these things up. And he went from one lie, one deceit to another. And he even had a child by Bathsheba. What was God's grace, love and mercy towards King David? It was this. That upon his repentance, and David did repent of what he did, God washed him and cleansed him as white as snow of what he had done. God has the right, the prerogative, to do that as the one who's going to punish it in the future, who's going to punish it in the future, even in his own son. Psalm 51 and verse 7, David prayed. It's a great penitential prayer of his, penitential psalm. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, Lord, and I shall be whiter than snow. And because he repented, because he turned to God once more, he truly turned from this sin and repented of it with a godly sorrow, God did indeed wash him and cleanse him again, that he might, in the sight of God, be whiter than snow. So God had mercy. God showed grace. God showed great love towards King David in this way. What about his grace, love and mercy towards his people in the days of the prophet Isaiah? They were great sinners in those days, weren't they? That's why Isaiah was sent to them. Because of their spiritual adultery, because of their idolatry, because of their faithlessness. And yet what did God say to them? What was his mercy towards them? It was this, that though their sins were as scarlet, they were stark. They were so very provocative before God. Again, if they repented of their sin, they were going to be as white as snow. God reasons to them like this, Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, his ancient people, the Jews, come now, he said, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet before me, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So there's a story about a little girl who once asked a man, what is whiter than snow? He said to her, nothing. Nothing is whiter than snow. But then she said to him, oh yes there is, the soul that is washed in Jesus' blood. The soul that's believed in Jesus, that he died for sin, died for my sin, rose again on the third day. That soul is whiter than the driven, than the pure snow. So my dear friend, the application of this is, If you turn from your sin, if you believe in this gospel, this good news concerning the Son of God, coming, suffering, dying in your place, rising the third day, dying for your sin, paying the penalty of them, if you believe in him, God will, he's promised, to be gracious towards you, merciful to you, by washing you, though your sins be as scarlet and red like crimson, and there or your being whiter than the driven snow. Again, let me quote these words. God, the Father, in the riches of his grace, sent his only Son, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross of Calvary. He's crucified, where he took our place, the guilty sinner's place, and suffered the just one for the unjust, that he might bring us back to God. And now if we hear and believe this gospel, we shall not come into judgment, but will immediately that you believe, pass out of death and into life, into eternal life. To think that scarlet crimes, sins big and sins little, the sins of a lifetime, or but of a few years can be put away, and the soul in God's sight made pure as the driven snow, surely, we say, surely this is wondrous grace. This is an amazing grace of God. This is what God does with those who trust his Son. Faith is that by which we make God's salvation our very own. It's only those who by faith in Jesus Christ make this salvation their own who enter into the enjoyment and actually receive it. So you go back tonight and you see the snow, let it remind you. And the scripture teaching reminds us of the judgment to come for our sin, but it also reminds us that God is a very long-suffering, patient, kind, merciful, gracious, loving God. If you turn from your sin, and if you come to him, you come to his Son, he won't send you away. He won't cast you off. He won't ignore you. He'll receive you back, just like the prodigal son was received back to his father in that parable of our Lord Jesus Christ. God will receive you back, and he will cleanse you from your sin. He'll give you the righteousness of his Christ. He will receive you back into full fellowship and communion and union with himself. You can be reconciled to God if you believe in the mediator, Jesus Christ. Well, finally tonight, as time goes, if you do become a Christian tonight, or if you are a Christian, what does the snow teach us? It teaches us about the kind of people that you and I ought to be as the people of God. It teaches us that you and I ought first of all to be a faithful people, faithful this year, faithful to God, faithful to his word, faithful to the means of grace, faithful to his people, to be faithful. Listen to Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest. You think time of harvest is very hot. The harvest is getting very hot because of the weather. But the cold is a lovely breeze, a lovely refreshing cold drink. So is a faithful messenger to them that sent him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Snow in that verse reminds us that you and I need to be a faithful people, that we might please God, and that we might be a refreshing and a blessing also to others. It also reminds us that we not only need to be faithful as God's people, but also, my dear friends, if you want to be blessed this year, and if I want to be blessed, we need to be a holy people. Listen to this verse in Lamentations, chapter 4 and verse 7. Israel's Nazarites, some kind of special people in the children of Israel, they were purer than the snow. Whenever you find snow in scripture, very often it's referring to holiness of life. And as God's people, God has cleansed us, and we need to live holy in Jesus Christ. We do still sin, we need to ask God's forgiveness. We need to come out of the world and have a different mindset, to be holy as God is holy. They were whiter than milk, they're more ruddy in body than rubies, their polishing was of sapphire. And you notice in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9 that we read earlier on, and in the description of what Jesus became like on the Mount of Transfiguration, in Matthew chapter 28 verse 3, and Mark chapter 9 and verse 3, and also in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 14, that God and his Son Jesus Christ is often likened to snow because God is pure and holy. Snow very often in Scripture teaches about the holiness of God and his people. If you want to be happy this year, and if you want to be blessed by God, if you want to know the presence of God, if you want to know what it is for the Spirit of God to come amongst us, well then, my dear friend, you must and I must live holy in Jesus Christ. Why is it that the Lord Jesus Christ loved to be with Mary, Martha and Lazarus in Bethany? Well, it's because he loved them and they loved him. But I'm sure it's because those three were a little holy family. A holy family there in Bethany. And Christ loved to be with them through in his life and also before he departed back to his Father. Seek to be holy this year. And also, finally, we need this word too. We need to be valiant. We need to be strong. We need to be courageous. We need to be brave as Christians. Remember this verse in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 20? We've already heard about Uriah the Hittite. He was one of King David's mighty men. There was another mighty man of David called Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow or in a snowy day. His father was a brave man. But also this man, Benaiah, is one of David's soldiers. He's a very courageous man, because only a very brave man would go down into a pit in time of snow and slay a lion who must have been very, very hungry indeed. There'd been not a lot of food around. What an example, Benaiah, mentioned of the reference to snow there, pointing to this man being a mighty man of valor. Who would true valor see? The hymnist says, it's the Christian. And you need to be a mighty man and a mighty woman of valor, of courage, bravery this year. It's like God said to Joshua that he needed to be strong and of a good courage. We need to be strong and of a good courage this year. These are some of the things that the snow teaches us, the treasures of the snow. So, my dear friends, we looked at these things tonight to conclude. What's it going to be for you? Is God going to justly judge you for your sin one day, in the day of judgment? Or has he, or will he be tonight, will he be gracious towards you, merciful towards you in the gospel of his dear Son, on your repentance and faith in him? And will you, if you become a Christian tonight, if you become a Christian, will you be faithful to him? Will you seek to be holy in him? And will you seek to be strong and of a good courage this year? Because these are the things that the snow teaches. These are some of the treasures, the truths of the snow in the Scripture they teach us, and that we need to learn and to put into practice this year.